Correct? We see judgments as well. But the revelation to his people, the way they get rescued, is that before he fights off their enemies, they must see a revelation of him. All the seven churches. This thing says he who has the seven stars to the church of Pergamos. This thing says he who has the key of David to the church of Thyatira. Now I'm getting all the churches mixed up, but it's all there. Okay? Amen? And when you see a revelation of Jesus, he fights your enemies. Amen? Moses had to take off his shoes. John was in the spirit. That's a shadow of a spiritual place. This is a substance. He was in the place. Amen? God appeared in a burning bush in the middle of it. Jesus appeared in the middle of another tree, the almond tree, which represents the resurrection. Amen? Let's go on. Are you all learning this? Enjoying it? All right. His head and his hair were white. That means radiant. White as snow. Okay? It's not old, okay? It means radiant. His eyes like a flame of fire. He's got burning eyes. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Very, very soothing, isn't it? Very powerful. Amen? You know, once in a while, I'll play a CD just on waves. I got a thing for beach sounds. While I'm sleeping, I hear whoosh. You know, those kind of CDs, you know? It reminds me of my Lord's voice, the sound of many waters. And I fell in love with the sound when I was in Hawaii about 10 years ago. And we stayed by the beach, my wife and I, during our honeymoon, second honeymoon. And we're enjoying the waves. So now Singapore, no wave, huh? So create some wave, lah. Are you on the same wavelength, all of you? Next verse, please. And he had in his right hand seven stars, out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was the sun shining strength. Now each of the seven churches saw each aspect of this. Each of the seven saw different aspects of this. You will find it in chapter 2 and chapter 3. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Now, look up here. Jesus appeared to deliver the seven churches out of their bondage. Moses saw Jesus appear in the burning bush to deliver Israel out of bondage of Egypt. Do you know that Abraham had this revelation? 400 years, God told Abraham, in a vision at night, your descendants will be in slavery for 400 years. All right? Then in book of Galatians, the Bible says, the law which was 430 years after God promised Abraham. Okay? That means Abraham heard the promise 430 years earlier, then 30 years after, God says 400 years. Altogether, it's 430 years. From Abraham to the giving of the law. Okay? You see that in Galatians. For the promise, the law was given 430 years, Paul says in Galatians, to Abraham. Oh, sorry, before God gave it. After Abraham, excuse me. Now, why am I saying this? Am I confusing you all? Because I'm confusing myself. Okay, what I'm trying to say, Abraham, Galatians says from Abraham to the giving of the law is 430 years, okay? Now, why is this important? Because all theologians know that when the book of Malachi ends, you know the Old Testament ends with the word curse. Think about that. The last word of the Old Testament is the word curse. You know what's the last word of the New Testament? Or the word that ends the whole Bible in the book of Revelation. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The antidote to the curse is grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do you know that from Malachi, the last book of Old Testament, until Jesus appeared, or not Jesus appeared, when God appeared, you know God was silent for 400 years. It's taught in Bible schools, it's taught among theologians. Theologians all know this very well. They call it the 400 silent years, right, Pastor Henry? From Singapore Bible College. 400 years of silence. And then God broke the news when the angels appeared in the sky. And Gabriel appeared to Mary. All right? And that was, after 400 years, God broke the news. But 30 years after that, Jesus appeared. The law was given 430 years after Abraham. Grace came 430 years after the Old Testament. The last word of the Old Testament. Good news? We see parallels. Then we see in the Old Testament, we also see that God lived in a three-room building, apartment. Outer court, holy place, holy of holies. Okay? We see it here, the picture of it. Can you see it? And y'all complain about, wow, having a, you know? Anyway, outer court, that's where the fire is, the sacrifice. And the holy place, let's go into the holy place, shall we? This is the holy place. And can you see the altar of incense? All right, before the veil. Okay, good. Can you see the table of showbread? Okay, it's called table of showbread. There are no chairs. Because they're always standing, their work is never finished. Only table, but no chair. They cannot sit down. Only Jesus was the only priest that sat down. Because his work is finished. All this shows he's not finished. Then we have the menorah. Can you see the menorah? The seven branch menorah. There you have it. Now, let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 4. Chapter 4. After these things, I look. Who looked? John looked. And behold, a door standing open. Say, open in heaven. And the first voice I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here and I'll show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne sat in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now, just now, back to the holy place again. Back to the holy place, the picture of the holy place. Yes. You see a veil there? The veil? Can you see the veil there? Now, that veil is no more there. Since when? I know it's a temple, all right? This tabernacle, but the picture is the same. The veil is no more there. Who tore the veil? God tore the veil when Jesus died. That means the price is paid. So now there's no more veil, okay? And John heard, what's inside, by the way? What's inside the Holy of Holies? The Ark of the Covenant, which is a picture of God's throne. All right? God's throne. The Old Testament even says it's God's throne in the book of Psalms. Okay? God reigns from between the cherubim. It says God dwells on the throne between the cherubim. Okay? So you can't see it now because it's blocked by the veil, but inside is the Holy of Holies. It's God's throne. Now, John, back to Revelation, John saw an open door standing open. Can you see it? Or an entrance standing open. Then he heard a voice, come up here. God is calling the church into the Holy of Holies. You see, do you know that this is chapter 4? Which comes after chapter 2 and 3? Now, what is found in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and 3? The seven churches. The seven churches were suffering because they were still not there, not here. They are not in the outer... Back to the first picture. The first picture. They are not in the outer court. They are in the holy place. Back to the holy place. They are in the holy place. But they are not in the Holy of Holies. Do you understand? The Church of Jesus Christ has been lingering in the holy place. Not enjoying the throne of God. Not enjoying the Father's presence. By the way, the dimensions of the holy place is 2,000 cubits. Alright, length, breadth. If you count it, 2,000 cubits. How long has the church been in existence? Since Jesus. 2,000 years. We are just past, slightly past. AD 2005. You know how long was the law? 1,500. Grace is longer. 2,000 cubits, holy place. I think something has happened to the church. And in the holy place, listen, there are three feasts, main feasts. I know there are seven feasts, but there are three main feasts God talks about. The feast of Passover, there you see the bronze altar, the fire, the sacrifice. Passover is the sacrifice of Jesus at the cross. Then you go into the feast of trumpets. Feast of Pentecost, excuse me. Trumpet is not the main one. The three main ones are Passover, Pentecost. What is Pentecost? The pouring out of God's Spirit. You see the menorah, the holy place. Pentecost is the holy place. But there's another feast about to come to the church. It's called the Feast of Tabernacles. And that's when God's presence is so real in your life. And that's why God is telling the church, come up higher. Come into the Holy of Holies. Come up higher. You understand? And I think it's going to happen to our generation. And by the way, do you know that in the Holy of Holies, listen carefully, no demon can be there. No sickness can be there. No disease can be there. No poverty can be there. Because God is there. So why is the seven churches suffering? And Jesus has come down to give them a revelation. Come up higher. All right, they are suffering because of lack of revelation. Then he came and revealed. That's why God put the seven churches in chapter 2 and chapter 3. Then chapter 4, John, like representing the church, he says, John, come up higher into the Holy of Holies. Now I'm going to show you the Holy of Holies, the real Holy of Holies. How many like to see the real Holy of Holies? What Moses saw, God said to Moses, see that you make it according to the pattern you see on the mountain. So what Moses did was a pattern he saw of heaven. Amen. You're about to see the real Holy of Holies. Are you ready? All right. Immediately was in the spirit, and behold, a throne sat in heaven, and one sat on the throne. He saw the real Ark of the Covenant. And he saw God sitting on the Ark, on the throne. Amen. Can you see that? He who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne, notice there's no veil. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the thrones, I saw 24 elders representing all the people of God. Don't see 24, only 1, 2, 3, only 24. Don't think that you are there, I am there. 24 is a representative number, alright? 12. 12 from the Old Covenant representation, and 12 from the New Covenant. Old Testament and New Testament saints are all saved by the blood of Jesus. And now we are all seated. You see, in the holy place there was a table, no seat. You see the 24, seated. Right in front of the throne. Don't forget the holy place picture again. Let's say the veil is not there. Alright. The table of showbread is there. Can you see that? John saw the real table. Not the table of showbread. John saw what happened after Jesus died. Alright. The table of showbread has 12 bread. Because at that time, it's the Old Testament. Only 12 exist. We have 24. How come? New creation. 12 from the new. And why? No more table. Why? Because now we are reigning on a throne. Kings don't reign from a table. Back then got table with no seat. Hallelujah. Now, the 24 elders are seated. Sitting. I love it. Sitting means resting. They are resting in the presence of God. With no sense of slavish fear. With no sense of the wrong kind of fear of God that brings bondage. They are sitting at ease in His presence. What is an elder? The book of Hebrews says, an elder is someone who is skillful in the word or teaching or doctrine of righteousness. Amen. Oh, I love it, I love it. And they are clothed in white robes, righteousness, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. Do you know this is true of all of us? This is a typical number, by the way. All right? Now, next. And that's why I love this interpretation, because number one, it bears witness to my spirit, there's peace. Number two, it reveals Jesus Christ. Number three, it explains things like, for example, 144,000 Jews, you know, from Israel. Right now, it's hard to imagine 144,000, unless they are representing the number. 144 is 12,000 times 12,000. Right? So back to this again. And before the throne, there was, from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire. The holy place in the Old Testament also had seven branch candelabra. Back to the picture again. Show them the menorah. Can you see that? The seven branch menorah. Can you see that? There it is. And not the arrow. That one. Don't look at the arrow. The arrow is a sign. All right? That one down there. And the real throne, look back to the verse again. The real throne has seven. No. Yo, this five ray. Revelation 5. Revelation 4. Thank you. Hey, yo. This thing going any further, somebody will get sacked, you know. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now we have the real menorah. We have the real menorah. Can you see that? Amen. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Look up here. I wish I had the menorah here. Three here and three here, right? The first one is the spirit of wisdom, and the next one, spirit of understanding. The spirit of counsel and of knowledge. Might. Spirit of counsel and might, thank you. Then the next one, spirit of counts, knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And the center one, the Spirit of the Lord. Seven spirits of God. Amen. So you see the real throne of God. What I'm trying to show is this, church, that the law is only a copy. We have the substance. If God can use Moses to bring his people out of bondage, God has sent Jesus to bring us out of greater bondage. Amen. And the church needs this revelation. And the way he brings his people out of problems is a revelation of himself. A revelation of himself. That's why my objective for this whole thing is to bring home the point. I wish I can create in you a desire to pray, oh Father, every day, give me a revelation of Jesus Christ. Because right now, if you are suffering in any way, I'm suffering in any way, we are suffering for a lack of revelation of Jesus Christ in the area of our need. And he appears to the one who is blind as I am the light of the world. The one who is hungry as I am the bread of life. The one who has no direction as I am the door. Amen. I am the way. Hallelujah. To Lazarus' family, he appears as I am the resurrection and the life. And the moment he declares something, listen carefully, whenever he declares, get ready for performance. Throughout the Gospel of John, when he declares, he did something for them. That's why I told you just now, he's not saying, I am this, you are not. No. It's not that kind of thing. He says, I am this, I hope you understand, I am this to become this in you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Learning church. There's something else. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. And I was thinking about this. I was meditating on this. I'm still in the midst of my journey in the book of Revelation. But I was meditating on this. I said, there's a significance here. God, there's no insignificant detail. The substance has a sea of glass. Now back to the picture of the holy place. What is the ground made of? Okay, Pastor Henry, what's the ground made of? Someone say gold. Silver, the ground. The ground, the holy place. What is it made of? Not the golden standing boards. The ground, where the menorah is, where the altar of incense is. What is it made of? Here's a revelation. It's sand. Just like sand outside, is it? Okay. It looks like golden color, but sorry. It's sand. Okay, wherever they go, they just put the boards. The sand is the sand. Okay. Wherever they pitch the tabernacle, it's sand. All right? Now, the sand has become glass. Very good. Can you see that? The sand has become... What's the significance? The dust represents death. Dust represents death. The foot of the serpent is dust. Okay? Today, in the real presence of God, there is no death and there is no food, nothing for the devil to feed. However, when you look at the sand, what do you see? Shadow. Darkness. Correct? Is shadow bright? Does it show your face, your smile? No. Shadow is darkness. Wherever you see shadow is darkness. Okay? Sea of glass. They look down there. Everywhere they look, they see the glory of the Lord, themselves, in Christ. We all with unveiled face, beholding as in the glass, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. And I saw an inner vision. The Lord showed me like if his throne is like emerald and a rainbow, all right? And the presence of God, jasper and sardius stone. There's a lot of play of lights everywhere. So beautiful in the presence of God. It's lights everywhere. Plus, when you see yourself glorious, white robes, crown. You cannot be discouraged because down there you look down, you're actually looking up. You're seeing yourself. You look down, you get encouraged. Back then, you cannot look down because down is just dust. That reminds dust you are and reminds you of dust you are and dust you shall return. Ooh. Good news. Praise the Lord. Wow, I tell you. And then in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. Don't forget the cherubim. Remember the cherubim? In the tabernacle of Moses, there were two cherubim. on the Ark of the Covenant, right? Here we see four, and their faces are described. The first was like a lion, the second like a calf, the third man, the fourth eagle. You see the four Gospels and the four faces of Jesus here. The first, a lion, the king of the beasts. What Gospel is that? Jesus appeared as the king in the Gospel of Matthew. The second, like a calf, Mark. Right? Mark, he appears as the laborer, the ox. Amen. That's why there's no genealogy there. You don't ask the pedigree of a servant. Then the third one had a face like a man, the Gospel of Luke. Even in the order, by the way. And Gospel of Luke is where you find him as the man. Even his genealogy traced back to Adam as a man. Whereas the Gospel of Matthew, his genealogy is traced back to the first king, Abraham. The first promise of a king was given to Abraham. Okay? Now, then the Gospel of John, flying eagle. Eagle is always up there, high in the highest. They can fly the highest compared to other birds. Okay? Because Jesus came from, in the Gospel of John, as in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Amen, church? So you have the four living creatures in your book. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they are the faces of Jesus. Good news? Now, I'll make this practical because there's no point for us talking about all this and at the end you don't see how the revelation applies to your life, okay? Go back to Revelation chapter. By the way, there's a lot I want to share, but because of time. Go back to Revelation chapter 1, when John fell at his feet. Now, before we come to this, let's go to Revelation 5. I think we have time for that. Just a bit of Revelation 5. I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Remember I taught this? Hey, by the way, you must get my teaching. I only did it one service, so because it's one service, there's a possibility you might miss that service. But you cannot afford to miss that message. The scroll with seven seals. There's a scroll, not a book, a scroll with seven seals. And the thing is this, John wept much because no one was found worthy to open the scroll. Okay? What I didn't understand for many years was this. All right? When Jesus opened the scroll, later on it says, don't cry, don't weep not, because Jesus, the Lion of Judah, has prevailed to open the book, right? But when Jesus opened the first seal, a rider on a horse went forth, conquering and conquer, and there's an Antichrist. There's a picture of a false prophet, rather. All right. Then next seal, there's famine. Next seal, there's a pale horse, death. Next seal, bad things was happening. So I was thinking to myself, why did John cry when he was sealed? Unsealed was a problem, what? Okay. So you want to know the answer? Get the tape. Get the CD. No more tape, Ray. Get the DVD. Get the VCD. All right. And it's very interesting what Jesus delivered us from. You understand? I mean, it was sealed, nothing bad happened. But when it's unsealed, the seal represents something bad. The seal represents something bad. So I asked the Lord, I mean, most of the commentaries doesn't seem to satisfy me. See that Jesus opened the seal and this thing went forth in the earth. It's literal. But it didn't satisfy me because to me, I'm thinking in my heart, I feel like saying, keep it sealed. Right? Okay, in case I leave you hanging, but there's a lot more I shared in that message. Just let you know that the seals represent what an average son of Adam in the world today without Christ is sealed with. All right? They are sealed with death, famine, not enough, sickness, all kinds of troubles that God never meant for man to have. But because of Adam's sin, it came upon man. All right? The seven seals is on everyone born into this world. And Jesus unsealed those who receive him. As far as you are concerned, those seals are off your life. That's why John rejoiced when Jesus unsealed. Amen. So get that message. It's a good message. It will bless you. But today, because of time, I just want to call your attention to something. Notice the scroll is, this is a New Testament scroll, by the way. Once, you know what was keeping the New Testament from coming to pass in the old? The death of Jesus hasn't come yet. That's why he has prevailed to open the seals. As the Old Testament cannot break the seven seals. All right? In other words, the new covenant was God's plan all the while, but it was sealed with seven seals, waiting for the right kinsman redeemer. All this you'll find in the teaching. Now listen, it was a New Testament seal. The inheritance of the earth was in that seal, the promise of Abraham. When Jesus unsealed it, that means he brought the New Testament to pass. The main feature was I'll be merciful to your unrighteousness, and your sins I remember no more. Because of this, the earth, your earth, will no more be forfeited. You will live like a champion, reigning in this life. Amen. That's why they all rejoice when Jesus opened the seal. And a seal can be a spirit proven by the scripture, because Bible must interpret Bible. In Ephesians where it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit whereby you are sealed. Whereby you are sealed. If God can seal you with the Holy Spirit, the devil can seal sinners with his seal. For the believer, the devil's seal has been unsealed. And you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Alright? Do not accept. Alright? If the seal is broken, right? No one should break the seal. The seal means what? The proof of authentication. Well, God has sealed with the Holy Spirit. And God says, no one can break it. Amen. Amen? Amen? That means you are His. I said you are His. Amen. That is if you're born again, if you're saved, if you receive Jesus. All right? Now, we look at something else. Notice the scroll was written inside and on the back. This New Testament scroll that later on we saw in chapter 10, a strong angel with a rainbow around his head was kept open. He had that small book open, right? New Testament. And notice the scroll is written inside on the back. Do you know the law? Old Testament, Ten Commandments was given also like this. Exodus 32. The two tablets of the testimony, the Ten Commandments, were in his hand, and the tablets were written on both sides, on one side and on the other. Look up here. There were two tables, right, of stone. We always think of the words were here and the words were here, nothing at the back. But the Bible says it was written front and back. Front and back. Back to Revelation 5, you see the New Testament also was written inside and on the back. You know what it means or not? First of all, it means forfeited inheritance if there are seals on it. Number two, once it's unsealed, there is things you receive. It's written in, when you read all this, it's written outside. Then you ask the Holy Spirit, open my eyes. You see what's written inside. It's called revelation. Before this is over, all right, I'm going to make revelation junkies out of all of you. That means you're addicted to revelation. You must have a fresh revelation of Jesus all the time. You know, God, please, God. It's been a few days since I have a revelation. Hallelujah. You know? Amen. And you go to work and people say, how come you're so fresh? You know, you're always so alive. When you walk into the room light up. I mean, good things happen around you. And even when you go through a bad season in your work and all that, there's joy and there's peace. And I see amazing how you come out with that season. It's amazing. All right, because I'm a revelation junkie. I'm a revelation junkie. You find the Lord will always be with you. Amen. I want to make revelation junkies out of all of you. Addicted to Jesus. I'm going to have not just what's written outside, what is written inside. Give me the revelation, Lord. Oh man, I love it. I love it. I don't like pet answers. I don't like people who don't ask the Lord, you know, those scholars, well, we know, and they're basing on another scholar who based on another scholar, based on another scholar who is dead. You know, I want to hear from God. And then some of them explain away healing, explain away prosperity. I want to hear from God. So even your New Testament is written outside, but written inside. But listen, what is inside will be revealed by the Holy Spirit. But it's based on the outside. You understand? So the Jew says that there are codes in the Bible. I'm not referring to codes. There are codes. I'm referring to what is available to all of us. Not available to those who know the Hebrew language only. God is not the kind of God. Amen, church? Learning some? Okay, let's close with this portion, Revelation chapter 1. I'm going to show you a practical way that Jesus applied this revelation. Notice what happened to John. Okay, this is Revelation chapter 1. Back to chapter 1 when he saw Jesus. John saw Jesus, all right? Forward, verse 13. He turned to see the voice that spoke, right? And having turned, he saw in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet. All right, and describe Jesus. Don't forget, this is the same Jesus that John leaned on during the Passover. But John saw him like he never saw him before. You know why? He's no more the bearded and sandaled one. He's no more the lowly Jesus. Now all authority has been given unto him in heaven and in earth. You know the Jesus that you and I have today is not the Jesus, the lowly Jesus. He's still humble, don't misunderstand. But he has all power. All power! Amen. Amen? And he's with you. And he will never leave you. But don't think of Jesus as the Jesus on earth, confined in one space. No, think of Jesus, the resurrected one, who said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So humble and yet so powerful. Amen. So gentle and yet so mighty. Amen. So loving and yet so full of authority. Hallelujah. He's with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Remember, when you walk through the storm, raise your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm, there's a rainbow round the throne, and God says, I'll never be angry with you. And Liverpool won. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By the way, when I was watching the match yesterday, the UEFA Cup final, and when I saw Liverpool was down, the first half, 3-0. Liverpool was losing 3-0. Can you believe it? How to catch? This cup final with the best, AC Milan. And they had Kaká from Brazil. You know, Kaká, by the way, is the one who has Jesus on his t-shirt that won the World Cup. Christian Samoa. I was a bit torn. Half time, Liverpool was losing 3-0. Then I prayed. I know many of you prayed also. Man, I prayed. I said, Father, I know this is in the natural very impossible. I'm asking you in Jesus' name, do a miracle for Liverpool, I said. Such a miracle that when it happens, I'll testify. So I have the testifier. I said, do it in such a way that it's so miraculous that, you know, I'll have the testify. And it was miraculous. Second half, Liverpool got three. Three all. Went into extra time. You know, scoreless. Then penalty kick. And the guy Dudek, he was a real doo-doo the first half. I lost confidence in him. But second half, after the prayer, whoa, I don't know how miracle hand here and there, you know, can defend. I mean, you should, this is one final you must not miss. You should watch all the repeat. Amen? Amen? Alright? Now, I've wasted my time sharing all that. But I told God, please give me the liberty, because I told God, when that happens, Lord, I will testify. So I have to testify, ma. Okay, in closing. Revelation chapter 1. How a revelation of Jesus Christ can change our life. So John fell, and in the midst of seven lampstands, he saw Jesus. Don't forget, it's the same Jesus, but now he's full of authority. And John, who was very intimate, all right, lying on his bosom as the youngest of the disciples, saw him. And notice his response, verse 16. He had his right hand seven stars, and the Bible says out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. By the way, the sharp two-edged sword is not against you. Okay? You'll find the word of God, listen carefully, cuts both ways. It cuts the devil and cuts off his bondage of your life. And it's a word of rest. And that's not a message altogether. For you, it's a word of rest. For the devil, he gets the point. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Fell at his feet as what? Now, this is the same John that leaned. Now, John saw him. John was so afraid. He fell at his feet as dead. Listen carefully. It was a picture of death. Now, John was a fearful man. After all these years, there was still fear. Does Jesus want him to be afraid? See what Jesus did. But he laid his right hand on me. It's a picture of righteousness. He laid right hand of righteousness, by the way, the Bible says. He laid his right hand on me, saying, what? Do not be afraid. Now, how does Jesus set us free today from our fears? Whether it's fear of growing old, fear of not having enough, fear of losing someone's love, fear of not being wanted, fear of being rejected, fear of not having enough for the future, fear of losing your job, fear of disease. How does Jesus deliver us from our fear? He's about to demonstrate to you. John fell like dead. So John's problem was what? A fear of death. John had a fear of death. By the way, do you know he's a very old man now? He fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. He gave him this revelation. I am he who lives, and I was dead. And look at me. I'm alive forevermore. That's how he sets you free from your fear of death. Because what I am, you are in me. Reckon yourself risen from the dead. Don't be afraid. You know why some people become subject to sickness and disease and become hypochondriacs? You know why? Fear of death. The Bible says Jesus delivered those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The fear of death will make you subject to bondage. And Jesus set us free. But notice how he set John free. He laid his right hand and said, don't be afraid. You won't die. He fell at his feet as dead. You won't die. I am he who lives, and I was dead, and I'm alive forevermore. Why did he say that? He's telling John, what I am, you are. What I have, you have in me. Again, that's how he set you free. Revelation of Jesus Christ will set you free from every bondage. Amen. I am he who lives, and I was dead. And that's not the focus. We all know that he lived before, and then he died at the cross for us. But the focus here, behold, look, I am alive for how long? Forevermore. Do you know something? Here's a little revelation for all of you. You are alive forevermore in an unresurrected body. You are a resurrected spirit in an unresurrected body. Do you know something? If my heart stopped beating right now, my body collapsed, I'll still be standing here. I say, why all of a sudden I feel so much peace, perfect joy. I feel more alive. You can never die. Your heart may stop beating. You can never die. Once you accept Jesus Christ, you have crossed from death unto life. You are alive forevermore. And once you have that kind of attitude, the devil cannot put anything on you, because only those who fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Hebrews 2 verse 14. He came to deliver those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. How to make someone scared who cannot die anymore? You have died. Do you know the real you I'm talking to? Has passed from death unto life. Is a resurrected person. The real Joseph Prince and the real you is a resurrected spirit. The only thing that's not resurrected is your body. But if you live like you are a resurrected being, you don't worry about your body. You are alive forever. I'm alive forever. Amen. So Jesus set him free. And the Bible says, he says, behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And here's where y'all must say, amen. When Jesus says amen, learn to say amen. Amen. So be it. Now don't forget, that means what? Amen in your life. He's telling John, apply what you see in me, in you. This is what the Bible says. Likewise, the Bible says, knowing that Christ, having died, he dies no more. Death has no more power over him. All right? And being raised from the dead, he lives unto God. The next verse, Romans 6. Likewise, in the same manner, reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin once and for all, and alive unto God forever. He's telling John, say amen, John. Behold, I'm alive forever, forevermore. Amen. May so be it in your life. You are alive forevermore also. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades. Here is hell. All right, y'all don't know Hades. You don't say, what the Hades? Y'all say something else, I know. So, it is the keys of hell. Amen? I reckon none of you go around and say, what the Hades, Rainer? So, some things I think, you know, don't have to change for Singaporeans. They understand hell better. Who has the keys of hell? Notice, plural, keys. I have the keys. Why do you think he dangled the keys in front of John and says, hey, John, I have the keys of hell and of death. Amen? For example, America hears Iran or North Korea has nuclear weapons. Let's say now they have nuclear weapons. Okay, they are building it. They have one nuclear weapon pointing at America. Then America sent a Singaporean agent. 777. Or 555. Amen? His name is Joseph Prince. Amen? So I appear in front of George Bush after a few months on assignment. And I said, sir, I have the keys of that nuclear facility. No one can push the button anymore. The keys are here. Amen? Now, assuming that they break the mold, there's no other key. Only one person has a key. And chances are some things they break the mold. So So I have one key, the only key. Don't you think it'd be a great comfort to George Bush? He would say, "What the Hades, boy?" Knowing his Texan background, I say, "Son, sonny boy." "Yeah, sir, there's one thing left, the reward money. I want to build a new church." Amen, church? Hallelujah. So don't you think when Jesus appeared to John and he says, I believe there's a smile on his face, Jesus' face. "Look, look." He didn't say look or not. Okay. "Behold." You see? "I am he who lives and was dead." He didn't say, "Behold, I am he who lives." Or not the emphasis on dead. "I am he who lives and behold, was dead." No. All right? The emphasis. The emphasis. "I am he who lives and I was dead and behold, look, I'm alive forevermore." Forevermore. Got it? Amen.
Amen.
"And I have the keys of hell and of death." Don't you think it's a great comfort to John? John, you cannot die. The key of death, even your death, is in my hand. And every person's death is in my hand.
Hallelujah.
Do you know something? The charismatic move, oh, my time is up, has been notorious in teaching people. The devil can kill people, can do this, can kill. You know what? Many times when you believe that, and you keep on saying that, you keep on saying that, in the book of Revelation, there's more than one place that it says, "And power was given to the dragon, and power was given to the beast." Until now, I have not found out in my study of Revelation where the power came from. But I've read more than one time, power was given. Power was given. And the Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue. Amen. I wish I have time to show you something that I just received fresh, but time is up. You know, fresh from Revelation. You know, I'm telling you, it's powerful, and I'll teach another time. Amen. 1 month later. And I mean 1 month later. But it's so interesting. Like in the book of Revelation, the dragon, where's his power? In his mouth. That's all, you know. His power is not in his hands or his horns or whatever. It is in his mouth. He brings a flood. A flood is a picture of what? God's judgment. The devil goes by as a roaring lion, making you feel like God is judging you. God is angry with you. There are people who teach Revelation as a roaring of a lion. God is still angry with you. Doing the work of the devil. God is not angry with his people. All his anger is exhausted at the cross. And then I found another one. Another passage where it says that the way the demons work, out of their mouth comes fire, smoke, sulfur, and brimstone. And the Bible says, there's a verse that says, their power is in their mouth. And with this tree, fire, sulfur, brimstone, a third of mankind is killed. And the Lord opened my eyes, looking at the symbols, the Lord opened my eyes. Where do you find fire and brimstone? Hell. Hell. Right? And also, yeah, Sodom and Gomorrah is a picture of God's judgment. And these demons, they breathe out fire, brimstone, sulfur. What does that mean? And it says clearly, with this tree, fire, sulfur, brimstone, a third of mankind is killed. What does that mean? Condemnation kills. I told you before, condemnation kills, if you accept it. Now, in the context, it's not referring to God's people. In the context, in Revelation, it was referring to people of the world that are truly sinning. But you know what? The devil comes and knocks them on the head. But the same tactic is used on God's people. Later on, he comes against this woman, a picture of the church in Israel, out of his mouth. And the next verse, when it says fire, brimstone, their power is in their mouth. Amen. Don't let the devil talk judgment to you. Don't let the devil use any Christian. Listen carefully. The devil appear, you know, in a pitchfork and underwear, you all know. Right? But no, the devil is not stupid. The Bible says, it's no marvel he transformed his ministers into ministers of righteousness, not grace righteousness, whose end is according to their works. He says that clearly. And he himself, Satan himself, is transformed into an angel of light, who teach you must do good, you must do good. And that's why the beast must have a false prophet. preaching. Notice that? And anyone that preaches to you today, all right, that God still judges you, is breathing out sulfur and brimstone. If you accept it, it will kill you. It will produce problems in your life because you're not believing what your Father is telling you. Amen? Look at Jesus. I am he who lives. I was dead. Look, I'm alive forevermore, John. And why did he tell that to John? Because John was afraid. He fell as one dead. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Church, listen. Jesus, your Savior, he gave his life for you. He has the keys of hell and of death. Not to use against you, to use against your enemies. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, let's just worship. Praise your name, Jesus. Bless your wonderful name. You are everything to us, Lord. Oh, Father, give each one of us a greater revelation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Father in heaven, give us grace. Give us anointing, Lord, to withstand the lies of the wicked one. All his lies. No wonder you said to put on the armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness, loins of truth, the gospel of peace shoes, the helmet of the hope of salvation, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit. Father, establish your people, Lord, in the gospel truth of the finished work of Jesus Christ, that nothing evil or bad in the book of Revelation is meant for your children, but meant, Lord, for all those who reject the wonderful gift that you have given, and all the powers of, is meant for the powers of darkness as well. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, I see in your word where you said that death and hell is cast into the lake of fire. We thank you, Father God, we win. We thank you, Father God, that we overcome him, the accuser of the brethren, by the blood of Jesus Christ. We testify to that blood. We thank you, the blood has saved us, not our works. The blood has redeemed us. The blood makes us righteous. By the blood, by his stripes, we are healed, kept healthy. By the blood of Jesus, we have been delivered from the authority of darkness. Thank you, Father in heaven. Oh, Father, you gave us Jesus, and you present him to us as a lamb, just freshly slain. And that's how you want him to appear always. Father, give us every day fresh revelations of Jesus as the lamb. Jesus in his finished work. And what happened at the cross? Father, we are still so ignorant. Father, please, by your grace and mercy, give to each one of us a greater revelation of Jesus Christ and the finished work of the cross in such a way, Lord, that we'll be fearful no more. Every one of us here, Lord, has secret fears, Lord, that others do not know about. Maybe not even the spouse. Give them that revelation they need. Give them the truth they need to know that will set them free. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' wonderful name. Every head bowed, every eye closed, here in the overflow.